Greetings in Christ. I'm Pastor Jacob Benson from Luther Classical College. The New Testament reading for today is from Luke 23, verses 26 through 56. And as they led Jesus away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we, indeed justly? For we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And when the sun's light failed, it was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested, according to the commandment. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. One year during Holy Week, as I was walking to my study to begin work on the many sermons I was about to preach, I sat down and looked out the window and saw two birds. One was lying on its side, a sure sign that it was no longer living, and the other was sitting upright on its feet, but it was so perfectly still, I thought that it was dead too. When I pushed open the door, the one moved its head so slightly so as to tell me it wasn't dead. It was very cold, and I thought maybe she was just waiting for the sun to warm her up, but as she moved her head and readjusted her weight, she settled on a very somber-looking pose. Her head hung, her eyes closed, and her body seemed to rock back and forth on her tender robin legs. As I looked closer, I saw that the one lying on its side had a broken beak. It was almost perfectly snapped. He didn't die a quick death, but he suffered greatly. But the female robin wouldn't leave the side of her dead friend, perhaps her mate or her son. She would sit and wait for who knows how long. In her pity, in her pietà, she could not bring herself to leave the one she loved. Mother Teresa once wrote a little story about a robin who saw Jesus hanging on the cross. The little robin couldn't stand the sight of someone in so much suffering, so the little bird flew around until he found a way to remove one of the thorns from the crown. In doing so, the robin was not able to relieve any of Christ's suffering, but instead pierced himself with the thorn. How do we flutter about the crown of our Lord? Do we seek to remove by our works the thorns that pierce him? Do we, when we see one of our companions lying dead, simply stand around? Or can we use this remembrance of Christ's passion to teach us patience? There is, of course, a time to mourn. Just as the Virgin Mary is so often portrayed doing in the Pietà, there is a time, like the robin in Mother Teresa's story, to go to the cross of Jesus. There is a time to take up our cross and follow him. There is a time to see how his suffering is found in the world, a time to consider the poor and the orphan and the sojourner. There is a time to pluck out their thorns, so to speak, to help them in their lives, to volunteer when the church gives food to the hungry or alms to the needy. But when we read the account of Good Friday, our eyes are drawn to the cross, not to the sufferings of others, not to our own sorrow, but to the suffering of our Lord. We are to listen to what Jesus says from that altar, from that high throne on which he is lifted up to cure the world's ills. On that first Good Friday, Mary, like a good mother, wanted nothing more than her son's suffering to end. If she had wings, she would have flown up and plucked the thorns from his crown. If she had the strength, she would have taken on the pain of her son, her only son whom she loved. But Jesus doesn't allow it. Instead, he takes on all of her sorrow and grief and suffering. He takes on her sadness, her sin, her doubts. Yes, Mary mourned the death of her son on that first Good Friday, but she forced herself to cut it short in the name of duty. Like the little robin outside my window, the Blessed Virgin eventually left her dead son, painful as it was, so that she could fulfill that which he commanded her, that she would trust in the provision he left for her and for all the church, in the written scriptures and in the preached word. As we read and remember the suffering of Christ, it is not the time to mourn. It is not the time to flutter around in a feeble attempt to reduce our Lord's pain. Now is not the time to bow our head and stand in silence as we gaze at the beaten and broken dead body of the one we love. It's the time for action. It is a time for prayer. This is the time when we raise our voices for those outside the church and beg the Lord that he would draw them to the place where a washing of their sin awaits them. Now is the time for salvation. This meditation is a time on which we look upon the cross of Christ, unveiled for all the world to see and believe, not in silence, but in praise. As we read this passage, we do not stand around a dead body, waiting until the time of mourning is ended, but we look upon the tool of salvation, the cross on which hung the salvation of the world, and we respond with thanksgiving, with glorious hymns of praise, and with patient, penitent hearts. And no matter the day of the week, no matter the time of year, we do so knowing that the third day will arrive. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you reign among us by the preaching of your cross. Forgive your people their offenses, that we, being governed by your bountiful goodness, may enter at last into your eternal paradise. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.